Vous avez remarqué? Les Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques approchent à grands pas. Ça va être un moment génial, de fête, de célébration évidemment. Et je ne sais pas dans vos cercles, mais de mon côté, une bonne partie de mes amis parisiens préparent leurs vacances d'été et se posent la question de mettre leur appartement sur Airbnb à cette occasion. Ça pourrait financer au moins en partie leurs vacances, alors ça tombe sous le sens qu'ils y pensent. De mon côté, c'est certain, je serai à Lisbonne, donc mon appartement parisien, dont je suis propriétaire, sera sur Airbnb pour cet été, pendant les Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques. D'ailleurs, ça me permettra de financer, en partie, mes vacances. Et vous? Imaginez ce que vous pourriez faire avec ce supplément de revenus. En réalité, votre logement pourrait rapporter plus que vous ne le pensez. Découvrez combien sur airbnb.fr/hôte. C'est airbnb.fr/hôte, H-O-T-E. Allez, place à l'épisode maintenant.
You might love animals, and here comes another episode in English, because the author of the book is just amazing. Hed Young won the Pulitzer Prize regarding COVID, and he has one of the most listened to TED Talk, and his book, A Nine-Month Road, which translates in French, and that's why I receive him, Un Monde Immense, got more than 3,000 reviews that point him at 4.7. It's just an amazing book, and we're going to learn about the senses of the animals, how the animals are sensing the world, understanding how our understanding of life, of the world, is so narrow compared to what the animals can actually feel and how can they can understand the world. It's just so fascinating to just listen to him. I'll let you do that. Allez, venons, c'est parti. So hi, everyone. Hi, Hed. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm very glad to have you, actually. Your book is just so fascinating. When it comes to the reality of our world, thinking about the fact that our reality is not the reality, it's just, I think for me, it was mind-blowing somehow. And maybe the first question I have, and it's probably a bit complicated one for a first one, but for you, what is reality?
You know, I am a science writer, right? Like, right. I write about objective things in the world that are true. You know, the fact that there are other animals around, the fact that they are alive, the speed of light. All of these things are true whether we choose to believe them or not. But I think that there are many sides to the world around us that are heavily influenced by our culture, our values, our ethics, and in this case, our biology. You know, the core idea of my book is that different creatures have very different understandings of the world around them because they perceive that world in radically different ways. So I could be sitting here in this room with my dog, or a snake, or a bat, or an elephant, and we would all be sharing the same physical reality, but we would be having totally different experiences about it. Because, for example, my dog would prioritize his sense of smell. The elephant would be hearing low frequencies that I can't hear. The snake might taste, might smell chemicals in the air that I can't smell. The bat would be using a kind of biological sonar, producing high-pitched calls and listening out for the echoes that I wouldn't be able to hear. So we would all, you know, be sharing the same objective space, but we would be each trapped in our own unique sensory bubble. And that is the core of the book, that each of us is only privy to this thin sliver of the fullness of the world.
Would you say that, or what is, or what are the issue that you would say are with our perception of reality? What is the issue with our perception of reality? Sorry.
So the issue is that it is limited, and it is, that is the case for every animal in the world, right? So my eyes and ears and nose and hands, give me access to a particular cocktail of sights and smells and sounds and textures. That's going to be very different if you are a dog or if you are a seal or if you are a bird. And the crucial thing here is that I don't perceive those limitations. You know, I'm not sitting here thinking that there are giant holes in my perception. I'm not feeling the sense of my perception of the world being incomplete. That is, however, a very powerful illusion, and it's one that all animals share, because all of our experiences of the world are always incomplete. You know, there's a wonderful word for this concept. The word is Umwelt. Mm-hmm. It is German for environment. But in this context, it doesn't mean the physical environment. So my Umwelt is not the bed that I'm sitting on. It's not the walls around me. It's not the phone that I'm holding in my hand. My Umwelt is the sensory world that I can perceive. You know, it's those sights and sounds and smells and all the rest that my body allows me to perceive, but that is only going to be a small slice of what there is to perceive.
I know the word Umwelt is very important to you, indeed. Maybe we should try beginning with the animals that are the closest to us. Probably the dog. I know that you now have a dog. It's you have it since 2 years, right? If I'm correct.
Yes, that's right. 3 years.
3 years.
His name is. Yeah, so he's a corgi. His name is Typo. He's very, very sweet. And I got him in the middle of writing this book.
Nice.
And I'm glad for that because I had already talked to scientists who study how dogs sense the world. I had already written the bit about dogs. And that completely changed the way I interacted with my dog when we got him. So dogs exist in a world dominated by smell. Their nose is their most important sense organ. And you can see that in lots of different ways. So just the anatomy of the nose, for example. Mm-hmm. A dog's nose has side slits in its nostrils. So the nostrils curve round to the side. Next time you look at a dog's nose, you'll see these slits. Those are really important. Like if you imagine a dog sniffing along a surface, like say the ground, you might imagine that every time it breathes out, it would blow away all of the scented molecules that lie on that surface and actually make it harder for it to sense the world through smell. But actually, those side slits on the nostrils create these swirling currents of air that sweep those molecules into the nose. So even when the dog is breathing out, it is actually getting this influx of air into its snout. And so its sense of smell is continuous. You know, it's not flickering in and out.